Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Mark Prendergast, guitar player in Codaline and now lead singer. Do you give yourself other titles in Man Alive, this project? Do you have roles?
It's just me.
Just
so,
you.
Yes,
so I don't everything.
Know what the role. Yeah. Say that.
Well, it pretty much is. Obviously, when you play live, you need a band. But yeah, in terms of like writing and recording, that's you, right?
No, the writing, a lot of it I've written myself, but yeah. I do lean on friends who like. So I wrote a song with James Vince McMorrow, and then a couple with Gavin James, and then I have a friend called Kieran Warren. Who I've been friends with for years, so I heavily rely on people, very, very much.
And do
so.
You enjoy that kind of collaborative writing scenario?
I absolutely love it, yeah. Because those guys I just mentioned are more my friends, so we kind of hang out more than we write. And then songs just kind of happen as a result of hanging out, as opposed to it being like, let's go to the studio.
Let's do a session.
Yeah, let's do a session.
Have you been thrust into writing sessions by, maybe your Codaline hat on, by labels or by, your publisher to go, hey, you should go and work with Johnny Rocks from LA and see what you guys can come up with. Has that happened?
I'm pretty sure we worked with Johnny Rocks in LA.
He's a great guy. I don't know why I'm slagging him up.
Yeah, leave Johnny out of this, man.
Come on.
We did. And like, look, we were at a point where we were kind of open to all that kind of stuff because it was exciting. And it was like, we actually went to LA and worked for 3 weeks with like a load of different people, but
a load of Johnny Rocks's,
yeah. But it just didn't really work. You know, we're a band, and we come from humble beginnings of writing songs together in our bedrooms and stuff like that. And so we tried it, and it wasn't really for us. It was nice to meet people and experience like that kind of thing, but it didn't really.
And all of the experience that you've had in Codaline must have fed into then what you wanted to do as Man Alive, like. As you said, there were reasons why this was a perfect time to try it and to do it. But then you want to write with your friends that you maybe haven't written with before, or you haven't written enough with before, and you wanted to get your—I don't mean your voice as in your literal voice, but you get your musical voice and your the stuff that's in you out. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, I think I write a lot of music. It's my hobby, and it's also my job, inverted commas. So there's always kind of songs sitting there, and then just. During that period where Codaline wasn't doing a whole lot, kind of an album or like two EPs kind of came out, and I never had that urge to do it. Like through the years of being in Codaline, it wasn't that kind of thing. It just happened when I went through a breakup basically, and wrote a lot of songs about that experience, just because that's what songwriters do. And then I was like, oh, these are so personal that maybe I should kind of sing them, and so that's kind of where it initially came from.
And then let's talk about the song Miles Away, because I've heard all of your stuff. I'm a fan of all of your stuff, but I do think Miles Away might be my favourite. It's such a gorgeous song, such a really great hook. I mean, we'll play it now in a minute so everyone will get to hear it if they haven't yet. But talk to me about this song specifically. Like, what's the genesis of this one?
This one's like a little more kind of playful and less serious than the other ones. Like I had a few days off after, I think it was a tour, and I just needed to kind of be left alone by everybody. And when you just need a couple of days on the couch. And then, so I kind of wrote this song. And I think a few weeks after I'd written the song, I was like, oh, maybe this is kind of more leaning into like social anxiety and just kind of wanting to be left alone. But like at the time of writing, it was a more playful way of just being like, yo, leave me alone.
Actually, that's something I've spoken to a lot of touring artists since I've kind of started doing these kind of daily interview chats with people of note. And one of the things I've noticed is that window from when you are on tour and when you come back home, that's actually quite difficult to adjust to. And it's not that you don't love the people you're coming home to, whether it's, partners or kids or just, parents or families or friends or whatever. But it's almost like that thing of, not getting the bends when you come up from a dive. You
Absolutely.
Need a window where you can go, no, hang on, I need to adjust. This life is not the same as the life I've led for 3 months. And I can't just switch it off and switch the other one back on. Is that true?
It is. They're completely opposite. I think when you're on tour and you're playing like to loads of people every night, there's like a certain level of adrenaline that just you just get for hours. And then when you come home, you're still kind of like living off that a little
bit. Looking
for
it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, when you do a super long tour, when it comes to the end of the tour, you're looking forward to the couch. And then when you're on the couch, you're looking forward to tour.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so this song then came, as you said, off the back of one of those tours where you just wanted to be left alone. It changed its meaning over time. Did you write this one solo, or was this with anybody?
I actually started, me and Gav went to America for our own kind of little writing trip, which was kind of a holiday.
Nice.
And we ended up just writing loads and loads of music. We didn't work with anybody. We just kind of stuck to ourselves and we kind of started this song. And then the lyrics came like a few months later when I was in one of those times. I was just sitting around and I was like, oh, that's what I'm going to write that song about.
Now, this also has a wonderful video. Which as a kid used to play with Action Man.
Yep, me too.
This is a wonderful. So explain the video to people who haven't seen it.
I think I still do play with Action Man.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
So me and my housemate Tomás Daly, or I call Tomo, who was also very heavily involved in the music video, he shot it, and so me and him kind of come up with the idea to just like act out. Like with a doll of what I would kind of go through, kind of going through the motions. And then it was very, very, like it was like a sketch. And I met Aisling for lunch and I played her the song.
Yeah, sorry, you're saying Aisling because Aisling's one of your friends, but everybody needs to
Aisling
understand
B,
Aisling.
Sorry.
Aisling B, one of Ireland's finest exports.
Yeah, she's excellent.
But a really good friend of yours, and you met her for lunch.
Yeah, and I just played her the song and she was like, oh, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, I have this kind of thing I've been doing with my friend Tomo. And she was like, she loved it. And then she went away and she realized the whole thing, wrote it all out, like every single scene, and she turned it into this like a story, and I was like, oh, I didn't see it like that.
Okay, so directed by Aisling B.
Directed and written as well.
And written. Kind of thing. And then kind of shot and edited by Tomo.
Yes, and just the three of us did it in my house.
That's
over a
so
2-day
great.
Period. And like we were in stitches laughing because like some of the shots are so funny. It's clearly like a doll with a camera here, and it's so
But there's a thing sometimes when you do something so, like if that was, you know, a $10 million music video and CGI doll, you wouldn't connect with it. It's the fact that the doll is so obviously being held by its feet at points, but it's doing things that you're buying into. You're going, no, that doll is now brushing his teeth. No, that doll is now lying down on its phone, like looking on its phone. Like you completely, it's the kind of rudimentary nature of it, I think, that you buy into the meaning behind it, as opposed to being wowed by some kind of effects that just don't, they just, you know, dilute the meaning or something, you know?
Yeah, I think that's down to Aisling. Like she's directed stuff before and she's written loads of stuff. It's kind of her bag, you know, so she, all those little images were kind of all her.
But look, Mark, let's talk Codeline for a second, because you guys have been, I guess, on a kind of a natural hiatus of sorts, because obviously, you know, people have lives and children are born and things happen, and the lads need to, you know, concentrate on other things. Gives you the window to bring us this brilliant man life stuff. But you guys aren't dead. You're not broken up. It's none of those things. Codeline's still existing and going strong.
Yeah, and like we've kind of been touring kind of in the background a good bit as well. Well, not in the background.
I suppose in the background maybe for Irish people who don't see a Codeline summer tour date here, whereas you guys could be off doing a tour of East Asia and like playing to thousands of people a night. But I see it because I follow all you guys on Instagram and I see your Instagram and I'm like, brilliant, the lads are. I often mention it actually on the show that, you know, for playing one of your songs, I go, well, the lads were in Manila last night and they did this show. It looks like it was great. You know, whatever it is. Like, but I suppose you're such an international band. It's not just about playing in Ireland.
No, it's not. And I think we if we are doing a tour, Ireland, it always revolves around the Irish show, like always. And that's why the only show we have this year is in Ireland. And it's Electric Picnic, and it's like, you know, it's been a pilgrimage for me and my mates since I was like 20, 21. Yeah. And I go most years, even if I'm not playing.
Right.
So, and this is our fourth year playing it, which is incredible. And yeah, I'm really, 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 we're all really excited for that show.
And obviously, it's not that far away. So are you guys back rehearsing yet? Or is this the kind of thing where you could literally walk up on stage, sans rehearsal, and just do it? Or
we will definitely be rehearsing for that. Yeah.
Yeah,
have to.
Arguments about set lists?
No, we tend to always agree on the set list. Strangely
enough. Disappointing, isn't it?
I know. Like, sorry, you're looking for some dirt.
Well,
right?
It's just I think it's like a thing of Metallica, right? So, like Lars is the drummer. Lars has picked every set list since 1981. Like it's his decision what gets played, and the other lads can feed in a bit of input, and he just goes, "Yeah, whatever. This is what we're playing," you know. So I'm just wondering, you know, does Vinny decide what you guys play? They're laughing at that. Makes me think maybe he doesn't.
No, it's normal. Like it's kind of the set list kind of makes itself. There's a couple of songs that if we don't play them in the set, it just feels weird for us not to play them, and they're not necessarily like
the crowd
singles.
Favorites. Yeah,
it's kind of crowd favorites or songs that like it's probably the same with every artist, but like this song coming after this song works
makes
or whatever
sense.
But it's generally our singer Steve, and we have a fifth member, Dave Prendergast, who's not
a relation
of me.
Here is, no.
It's like if we were brothers, that's who you'd be.
Yes,
but,
true.
But so kind of him and Steve kind of do it, and we're always like,
yeah,
whatever, happy enough.
I mean, look, there aren't any bad songs. That's the great thing about Codaline. Like, you know, you can pretty much go hit after hit. Talk to me about something that I ask a lot of guitar players, this question, right? So I like to go to my wife and tell her that there are people in the world who have more guitars than I do, okay?
I'm not one of them.
No, I don't know. No, if we'll your wife is listening. Well, I'll go home and tell her you are one way or the other, right? But I've asked Bryan Adams, okay? Ooh. Bryan Adams has 40 guitars.
I thought he'd have more than that.
So did I. I asked Jared from Kings of Leon. He's a bass player. And he said between basses and guitars, he has about 20. Ooh. Then I asked Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters and The Edge from U2. And I will tell you that Chris Shiflett said that he's somewhere between me and The Edge. Okay, The Edge has 500 guitars.
Amazing. Where are they?
The Edge's ones are mine. Yeah. I don't know where the Edge's ones are. No, I know. I do. I've actually, he sent me a photograph. It was literally the most beautiful thing I've ever seen of this. You know when you see in the back of like a warehouse and you just see like stacked shelves that go up and you need a forklift to get things on the top? He has that of guitar cases.
Are you sure he wasn't just in Music Maker?
Like no, this would pay, Music Maker would go, how many guitars are there? Anyway, that's The Edge. We don't worry about him. We count him out. But Chris Shiflett said, yeah, somewhere between me and him. So I'm going to tell you how many I have. And then you tell me that you've got more because you're Mark from Codaline and I'm just this idiot on the radio. I am currently selling, but I have about 80.
You have 80?
Oh, no. You don't have 80, do you?
I'm nowhere near 80.
But you're a guitar player in a band.
But you can only play one at a time.
Man. Don't sound like my wife! How many would you reckon you have?
I reckon 30. And I think that's obscene.
You're really not helping me out here. By the way, you're absolutely right. It is obscene. And that's why I genuinely am selling guitars at the moment. If anyone wants to buy any, let me know.
I might buy one.
Yeah, you have plenty for sale. 087-4102. Come here. Before you go, quick fire round. We do it there on all my guests. What are you currently obsessed with, Mark?
I'm back obsessed with The Office. I took a break for a few years, but I'm back.
US or UK?
I prefer the UK, but at the moment the US, because there's more.
Yeah, there's actually a whole lot more. Yes, you can keep going. All right, excellent answer. Who is the most famous person in your phone?
Vinny.
Vinny from Codaline. Okay, other Codaline members notwithstanding, we've mentioned Gavin James, we've mentioned Aisling B, Tomo, obviously, your housemate. Anyone else?
I don't think I have that many famous friends, really. You? Have your number?
I'm not allowed to be an answer to this question ever. Okay, when you were 8 years old, what national school were you in?
Holy Family,
River Valley. Right. What did you bring in your lunchbox?
I had a little ham and cheese sandwich.
Common answer for Irish people. Not so common around the world, but common for Irish people.
I had a banana and normally either a taxi bar or a wagon wheel.
And was one a treater than was one a special day, or were they just either or?
Taxi bar was kind of regular day, but wagon wheel was like
Friday.
Big day. Friday.
Get your wagon wheel in. Yeah, it's celebrating the weekend. I love it. And the final question, Mark, I ask all my guests, and I understand it's a bit of a weird one, but because I don't, do you, Mark Prendergast, from Man Alive and Codaline, wash your legs in the shower?
Don't think I've ever washed my legs, no.
They're clean, though. Brothers. I knew we connected on lots of levels, and this is another one.
I think I probably washed like the front there, like just on my kind of thigh, but that's about it. Is that bad?
No, apparently, no. Like, obviously, I'm biased because I don't wash mine either. But I have.
You wash your legs?
I've asked everybody this question. But I recently found a dermatologist, I don't mean a single one, but I found a quote from a dermatologist that said, no, you shouldn't wash your legs or your arms in the shower. They're getting washed by just being in there. And I said, that's what I want. And then someone else sent me a link to another dermatologist who said, wash your legs, you filthy animal. So I think you can find whatever answer you want. Listen, Mark, thanks for coming in. Best luck with Man Alive. And we'll see you at EP for Codaline in the summertime.
Thank you for the continued support. I really appreciate
it. Anytime. Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.